Philippians chapter number 3. Before we read our text, here in the book of Philippians, we see that Paul penned this book. And while he's writing this book, of course, God is the author of the Bible. But he gave the words to Paul, and Paul wrote them down. Paul was in Roman imprisonment. So he's in jail. He's not in a good spot. But he's writing to this, to the Philippians. And the Philippians, of course, was the group of believers that made the church of Philippi. And this was written around the year 80, 60, somewhere around there. And he is in jail, but he's writing to encourage and thank this group of believers. So we're going to be in Philippians chapter number 3, if we all stand for the reading of God's word. Philippians chapter number 3, we're going to start in verse number 10. And it says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, I pray that you'd help me, dear Lord, that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. Dear God, I need you tonight. If you don't come and meet with us, dear Lord, it's going to be for vain, dear God. There's nothing's going to happen, dear God. So I pray that your Holy Spirit would come, dear Lord. I pray that there be no distractions, dear God, that you give me the words to say, dear Lord, and that the hearts will be tender, dear God, and that this will just encourage, dear Lord, and maybe even challenge us with our Christian life. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So here, of course, in the book of Philippians, Paul is talking to the church of Philippi, and he is, of course, thanking them, but he's also giving them a challenge. And even though Paul is in jail, Paul believes God, of course, but he wants to make sure that this church is doing what it's supposed to do. Now, tonight, I have my bike up here. I'll bring this over. When I wrote out my sermon, I did not have this bike. So I was going to bring a regular bike in, but the Lord provides. That's all I can say. Nope. So this brother Yoder was preaching the other night, and he was talking about a tire and how a rim, you know what, with like a bike tire, everything points to the center. And as he's preaching, I started thinking and started writing stuff down. Of course. And then the Lord just kind of started filling this stuff out. And so I'm going to be reading a lot of Bible tonight. But I want to present how the Christian life is like a bike. That after this, hopefully, when you see a bike, you'll think about the Christian life, and that hopefully it will better you. But to get our minds there, I want to make a couple of introductory statements from this passage that we see from Paul. First off, we see Paul's spirit of humility. In verse number 13, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." The word apprehended means to come, to attain, to overtake. Paul said, in other words, you know, he said in verse number 12 that he was not made perfect. And you know what? Paul, of course, he was saved. So, you know what? For him to be saved, he had to realize he was a sinner and that he was imperfect. But he was telling the church of Philippi, hey, even though I might be a great guy, I'm still imperfect. I'm still made out of the same dirt and mud that you're made out of. You know what? I'm a sinner saved by grace. And you know what? I have not made it to heaven. You know what? To have apprehended. He's like, I haven't arrived yet. I haven't hit the goal of perfection. I haven't, You think, oh, well, if you read the Bible so many times, then you've hit perfection. No, preacher can tell you. He's read the Bible hundreds of times, I'm sure. but he'll go to the same passage that he's read hundreds of times and find a brand new truth. The Bible is like that. The Bible is like any other book. And Paul's talking to the church of Philippi and saying, hey, I haven't made it there. You know what? You guys haven't made it there. So let's get to work. Number two, in verse number 13, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul was talking about, hey, you know what? Every one of us has a past. Whether we got saved when we were 5 or when we were 50, we all have a past. And you know what? Sometimes in our past, when we do fail, and we will fail, when we do, the Satan will use what's been in our past and will come and will sometimes hurt us. You know, it's going to be the day that you wake up late and you're rushing out for work. You have no time to read the Bible. You don't even have enough time to pray and ask God's help for the day. It's already a rough start. And you know what? While you're working, through a series of if people come and talk to you, or you know what? Satan just comes and sits on your shoulder and you know what? Starts gnawing at you. Said, man, you didn't even read your Bible this morning. You couldn't even pray to your Creator this morning. What kind of worthless so-called Christian are you? And you know what? He'll keep doing that. And you know what? The more you think about it, the more he keeps pushing and pushing. And you know what? He's going to use our past. But you know what? That's when you come and you remind the devil, yes, I am worthless, but I am a Christian. I've been saved by the blood. You know what? The blood, you cannot touch me, Satan. You might be able to press me. You cannot take me. And you know what? You can remind yourself that you're born again. You know what? You are God's child. And then if that doesn't work, take him to Revelation. You know what? The devil is a defeated foe. He is already lost. He is waiting his time till his doom comes. And you know what? Most of the time, he'll leave after that. You bring the Bible into it, he'll leave. But you know what? Paul was telling him, you know what? Sometimes we have to forget what's behind. But not only forget what's behind, but we have to reach forth unto those things which are before. You know what? Paul's telling them that we have to have goals. We have to have goals in life. I have realized, and I think it was just a couple weeks ago, a day in my life without a plan, and it was awful. I cannot live my life without a plan. I can't live a day without a plan. I have to figure out what I'm doing, because if not, I get up and I do absolutely nothing. If I say, I'll probably do this, or you know what? My laundry. Oh my goodness. My laundry, I'll say I'm going to do my laundry at 8 a.m. Comes along 10 p.m. Oh, shoot. You know what? I should have done that. But you know what? If I don't have a goal, I don't get what's done. You know what? Same thing in the Christian life. If we don't have a goal, we don't get stuff done. You know what? If we don't have a goal to be able to say, hey, we're going to have this many people here at church. Or we're going to have this many people in our Sunday school class. Or this many people on our bus. You know, if we have no goal to strive for, we will do absolutely nothing. And you know what? That comes into verse 14. You know, Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. To press means to pursue, to ensue. To follow, to be given, to persecute. You know what? We can see just from the Bible. We don't even have to look in. We could look in our life, but we look through the Bible, and we realize that life is not easy. You know what? We can go all the way to the Old Testament. We can go Adam and Eve. They sin. They get kicked out of the garden, and now Adam is going to have to work and sweat for the rest of his life just to provide for his family. He lived for 900 plus years. That's a lot of work and sweat. You know what? Was that easy? No. Was it easy for Noah to be a preacher and be building the ark, be a preacher for 120 years, and he had him, his wife, and his sons and their wives, 7 other converts in 120 years? Do you think that was easy? No, it wasn't easy. You know what? We had Abraham. He was going to have to kill Isaac. Do you think that was easy? No, it wasn't easy. We can go on and on and on. We could go to the New Testament. We could go and we could see Jesus. I was preaching out in junior church, and we talked about some different trees out in Junior Church. We talked about Jesus, his cross, the tree of salvation. And you know what? We could go through all four counts of the Gospels, and we could see that he got beat, he got scourged, he got whipped. He didn't even look like a real man, the Bible says. Do you think that was easy? No. Why did he do that? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But you know what? It's going to be your choice. Romans 10:13, for God's, I'm getting ahead of myself. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, verse 14, it says, I press toward the mark. The mark. This evening, the mark is going to be the mark of perfection. We cannot reach that mark until we're on the other side of eternity. But you know what? God wants us to press toward the mark. To press toward. And you know what? You can't do that until you, for one, get on the road to heaven. Just like I was talking about, you know what? Whenever we're born, we're on our way, we're on the road to destruction, according to Matthew 7:13. But by the grace of God, someone has shown you that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know what? You accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. I believe, at least for tonight, that, you know what? God gives you a bike. Now, bikes, they're not all totally the same. Some are big, some are small. You know what? Some have different parts. Some are electric. Praise God. But you know what? We're all going to have to take the road to heaven. You know what? Even though the bike is supposed to be a convenience, you know what? We're going to have problems with trying to learn how to ride a bike. We're going to have the problems of making sure all the parts are in check. And you know what? That's going to make it a little rough of a road. But you know what? I see so many different parts of this bike. I want to be able to show it to you guys, and hopefully it will challenge us to be a better Christian, make sure that we're in check. But you know what? I got a bike, and I might think I know how to ride it, but you know what? I have to have a manual. Guys don't like reading manuals, but you have to have a manual. You know what? When you got saved and God gave you a bike, he gave you a manual. He gave you a manual. But you know what? If you don't read the manual and this thing crashes and dies, whose problem is that? It's yours because you didn't read the manual. God has given us a manual to live our life. But one day, if you stand before God, you'll have no excuses. You can't say, God, I never had a manual. God, I never had someone to explain the manual to me. All right? We have no excuses. So tonight, my question, how's your bike? It's supposed to be like the Christian life. How's your bike? Number one, first thing I see on a bike, one of the most important things are the rims. We see the rims. We have two rims on here. And I picture them as the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. John 1:1-3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. Now you might have a bike, but if you have no rims, you're not going anywhere. Nowhere. You might fall over, but that's about as far as you're going. And you know what? In the Christian life, once we're saved, we're not going to go anywhere unless we have the manual. You know what? So many people out there have a false manual that think they know how to get to heaven. Some people don't even believe in the manual. But you know what? As Christians, we have a manual and we have the rims, as we use tonight, to be able to start our way down the Christian life. Next, I see, can't actually see, but the air tubes. They're inside, around the rim. I see the application of the Bible. Psalms 119:11. The word have I hid in my heart, I might not sin against thee. We could go to the Psalms. We could go to the Proverbs, where the Bible says that you need to apply your heart. You have to apply your heart to instruction, to knowledge, to understanding, to wisdom. You know what? You can have the Bible. You might be even able to read the Bible. But, you know, just like Preacher was saying the other night, when we read the Bible, we get the facts. We have the knowledge of the Bible. But then, what are we going to do with it? We have to understand what the facts are about. So we read the Bible, we get the facts, we understand what they're about, and then we have it, then we apply it to our life to have the wisdom to be able to do it. Because if you just have the rims on here, it is going to be a rough road to get to heaven. If you don't apply anything from the Bible in your life, it's going to be a rough road to heaven. There's going to be many mistakes that are going to come. And you know what? We have to have the application of the Bible. Of course, when we read our Bible and we apply our heart to biblical principles, it will help us. You know what? Preacher says it over and over and over again. But you know what? We have to build our life biblical principle by biblical principle just to have the Christian life. You know what? If we don't have no biblical principles, where are we getting our Christian life from? We have to have biblical principles in our life. We see, then you say, Brother Max, that's great, but you're missing something. The tires. You know what? We need the tires. And I think the tires is our doctrine. Hebrews 6:1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. 2 John 1:9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now, we can have the Bible. We can have our rims. We can even have the knowledge, the understanding, the wisdom. But you know what? When you ride a bike and you have no tires, but you have a rim, and then you have the air tubes, you know what's going to happen after a while? The air tubes are going to bust, and you're right back to the rims. You know what? We have to have a doctrine, because sometimes we know the Bible. We have the Bible. We read it. We have the knowledge to understand the wisdom. We know how to apply it. But if we have no doctrine to set the application on, then we just fall. You know what? With a bike, you have no tires, you have no doctrine, you're going to pop and you're going to be back at square one. You know what? We have to have a strong, or as in different places it says, a sound doctrine. We must have a sound doctrine. See the structure of the bike. Now that we have the wheels, we have the rims, the air tubes, the tires, we have the structure that holds it all together. And I'm thinking that this is going to be the assembly of God's people. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And I think all of us as Christians, if we read the Bible, we see the day approaching. And you know what? More and more people are not coming to church. They don't think it's worth their time. That's why it's so important that we run those buses, that we run, that we bring the kids in, because the day's approaching. We see it. And if we do nothing about it, it's going to be our fault if we don't do anything about it. Psalms 122:1. Y'all know this. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. You know, the church is one of the most important things that Jesus put together after he had died. You know what? He brought the disciples together and they had a church. And you know what? I love our church family. I don't know what I would do without our church family. But there's something about having a church that you can go to, that from week to week, Sunday to Wednesday, Wednesday to Sunday, that you can come and you can have an accountability. You know what? Being as humans, we all struggle. I have stuff that I struggle with. It's not going to be the same as yours. But you know what? Sometimes we have to come to someone in the church and be like, hey, I need accountability. You know what? Most people that, let's say, they make a decision to read their Bible more. You know what? I'm going to read my Bible every day. If they don't have no accountability, it's going to be 3 months, and they're going to be back to the off and on. I don't know. And you know what? We have to have that accountability, and the church gives us that. You know what? Let me see here. I lost my place. You know what? Okay, the accountability. You know what? We have to have that accountability. I don't understand how people think that they can live the Christian life without ever stepping in this and through the in the church. You know what? Yes, we read our Bible and we understand and we apply, but you know what? We have to come and we have to get the extra. Because you know what? You know what? During the summer times, I lay flooring every day. And you know what? Sometimes you get around the wrong people, or you know what? Not that you want to, but you listen to the wrong stuff. And you know what? Your Bible reading can only do so much. And you know what? We have to come and we have to get the extra that we need for the week. And I don't understand how you can live a Christian life, how you can have a structure to keep your bike together without having that. Because if we didn't have the structure that held the tires together, they just go everywhere. Next. Let's see here. Let's have you turn to Romans chapter number 10. I want you to turn to Romans chapter number 10. Next, we see the handlebars. And you know what? We can have the tires. We can have the structure. We ain't got no handles. We have no idea where we're going to go. You know what? And I see that the handles are faith. Matthew chapter 21, I'll be right there at Romans here in a minute. Matthew 21 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Romans 10, verse number 17. Y'all should be there. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know what? It's crazy that I start looking at this and stuff starts falling back. You know what? You have to have faith. But you know what? To have the faith, you first have to have the rims. You first have to have the Bible. And you know what? Then you have to have the application of the Bible and the doctrine of the Bible just to have the faith. And to help your faith, you have to have the structure. Everything comes together. And you know what? Also, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If you can have the faith, you know what? Confession time. You know what? Did I have the faith that the past 2 days that 27 kids were going to come and get saved? No. I had prayed on Wednesday that maybe 3 or 4 of them would get saved. What would have happened if I would have had the faith that I said, God, I want to see 50 kids saved through Friday and Saturday? Who knows how many kids would have been saved through them? You know what? Sometimes my faith stinks. Just being clear and honest. Everybody can probably admit that. But you know what? To have faith, you have to have that to be able to direct your way through life. And of course, like I said, to have the faith, it has to come from the Bible. It comes from the Bible. Next, we see the chain and the brakes. Now, this one kind of threw me for a spin. I really didn't know what to do here. The brakes were what threw me. I was like, I'm like, what the brakes are going to be for? What can I apply for the brakes to be for? And I started thinking, and then the Holy Spirit told me, hey, dummy, it's me. And I'm like, okay, all right. So the chain and the brakes are the Holy Spirit. John 14, 16 through 18 and verse 26 says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And that comforter is the Holy Spirit. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. And that's why the world doesn't have the Holy Spirit. You know what? They don't see him. Because you know what? If they're not in church, they're not going to see him. They're not going to know him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You know what? We could flip to Acts Acts, and you know what? It talks about the Pentecost, day of Pentecost. And you know what? They were all in the upper room, and the Bible said, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the houses where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with their other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Then they that gladly received his words were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now the Holy Spirit, you say, Brother Max, how does the chain and the break really, how does that even coincide? Well, the chain, which is on this side, but the chain is what hooks the pedals to the back wheel. So yes, you can have the tires, you can have the structure, you can have the handlebars, but if you don't have that chain, you're going to be pushing yourself the whole way there. And you know what? The Holy Spirit is whenever you come, week by week, Sunday to Wednesday, and preacher preaches on something, the Holy Spirit's going to knock at the door and say, hey, I need you to move this around. And you know what that chain does? It moves stuff around, but then it starts to keeps you moving. And you know what? Throughout the week, we sin, we mess up, we've had a bad day, and we say something that we shouldn't have. Or multiple times in the day when we shouldn't have. You know what? The Holy Ghost then comes by and says, hey, Max, you're going to have to go apologize. I don't want to. And you know what? I go and apologize. And sometimes it's even harder when it's true what I said. And you know what? I still have to go and apologize. It's not cool. And you know what? You know what? It's not cool to have to go and apologize for saying the truth. But you know what? The Holy Spirit comes, and you know what? When stuff gets in between, you get it right, and then you keep moving. Now, the breaks, the Holy Spirit will come whenever you have a sin, like I said, and sometimes he has to hit the brakes. Say, hey, dummy, what are you doing? And you know what? You know what? Those brakes are to stop you from any kind of danger. And you know what? You could quench the Holy Spirit for all you care. You say, no, I'm not. I want to do this. And then whenever you fall off the cliff, you know what? You're going to realize, oh, I should have listened to them. You know what? You would think if this biker was coming down a hill and there was a cliff, but it was pitch black, and you knew the cliff was there. And you know what? You see him and you start yelling, hey, there's a cliff! Hey, there's a cliff! Hey, there's a cliff! Hey, there's a cliff! You know what? They don't pay attention and they run right over the cliff. And they die. You said, I warned them. I yelled my guts out at them. And you know what? They didn't listen. You know what? Sometimes that happens in the Christian life. You know what? You start neglecting your Bible reading. Or you know what? I don't have time to pray. You know what? I don't want to have to go and witness. You know what? I want to do the least amount of bus visiting that I can so I can go back home and do what I'm supposed to. You know what? I'll say that I'll help with Operation Occupation, but you know what? I'm just so busy, I probably won't. You know what? The Holy Spirit will start saying, hey! Hey! You're going to fall off a cliff! You're going to mess up! And you know what? Wherever you mess up, it's a whole lot harder to get stuff right. You know, instead of the Holy Spirit saying, hey, you need to get this right. Be like, all right, Lord. All right. The brakes, you got them. All right, we're back on course. And then lastly, you say, Brother Max, you got everything except for one thing. The pedals. Yes, the pedals. You know, the pedals is completing our commission. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You know what? We could go to Matthew, we can go to Mark, and we can find our Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and teach all nations. And you know what? That's a command. That's not a request. That's not a, oh, if you get the time. The Lord, this is the last command that Jesus gave us. Hey, I'm coming back. You better go find them. In Acts chapter number 1, let me flip there real quick. Y'all know this, but in verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So to be able to complete your commission, you first have to have the Holy Ghost. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You know what? We at Blessed Hope have so many different opportunities to where we can go and complete our commission. You know what? I was just thinking, you know, normally on Wednesday nights, whenever me and a partner is praying, you know what? I'm praying for all the visiting that's going to happen. You know what? We have bus visiting. I know there's bus captains in here that are wishing that more people could come and could help them visit, go find new stops. You know what? We have our Operation Occupation. We have 20 sections back there that our pastor has marked up and said, hey, this is the vision. Let's go with it. But if nobody goes, our pastor's probably still going to do the work. But you know what? One day we're going to stand before God and God's going to be like, what are you doing? What are you doing? I gave you a pastor with a vision and you did nothing with it. You wasted it. You know what? I think of Sunday school visiting. You know what? I had a couple of Sunday school teachers, even though I was a church kid, that would come and they visited me once or twice while I was in their class. And that was the coolest thing. It's like, you know I'm going to be there. But you know what? My Sunday school teacher's like, hey, even though you're a church kid, I want you to come to Sunday school. You know what? And that gave you excitement. You're like, yeah, I want to go to Sunday school. You know what? My teacher came and visited me. You know what? And they wanted me to come to their Sunday school class. You know what? Then we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of gospel tracts back there. Pastor keeps them full. And you know what? Just this past week, I've been doing that. Any place I try to go, I'm trying to pass out gospel tracts. I know the gas station the other day, and I had passed, you know, 4 or 5 of them out to different people. And you know what? At first, you're kind of nervous. But then afterwards, when you walk away, you're like, woo! Come on! You know what? You're feeling pretty good. And you know what? The more and more you do that, the better and better you're going to feel about it. But you know what? If you never go and you never put the work in, the bike's not going to go anywhere. You might have the faith to do it. You might even have the chain. You might be able to, for a while, when you're going down a hill, be able to ride it. But when it comes to having to come up a hill, you're going to have to put the work in. You know what? You're going to keep going. You're going to reach the valley, and then you're going to start slowing down. You're going to have to speed up. You're going to have to start coming to that hill. And once you hit that hill, woo! Man, you're going to hit that mountaintop experience. You're going to be able to ride down a little bit, but then you come right back to a valley. You know what? Then you're going to have to start putting the work in again and again and again. In the Christian life, you keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And then finally, you'll hit the mark of perfection. You'll be with Jesus. And you know what? All you'll be doing is wishing that you had done more for Him. And you know what? Now you're like, now it makes sense, a bike. But I hope that whenever you're driving by, you see a little kid's bike, or you go into Walmart and you walk by the bikes, you'll think of, hey, you know what? I haven't been doing very great in my Bible reading. You know what? I should probably work on that. You know what? I might read my Bible, but I need to apply it to my life. I need to do a recheck on my doctrine. You know what? I need to know what we believe, who we are, and why we believe that. You know what? We have to have, let me make sure I'm not missing any of these. We have to have our structure. You know what? Sometimes it just becomes, you know what? It's just part of what we do. We show up. You know what? We hang around a while and then we leave. But you know what? Having the structure of God's people, you know what? Being so nice to visitors. And you know what? I'm not always up here. But, you know, there's so many people that are always looking for visitors, always got them on their mind. You know what? Because we've been a visitor before, and it's always great whenever people are nice. You know what? Having the handlebars, you know what? Sometimes your faith is going to stink. You know what? You're like, Lord, I need your help. You know what? I need the faith. And you know what? Just to be able to steer. You know what? We need the Holy Spirit. We need to have that chain that will keep us moving. You know what? We need those brakes. We need to be tender to whatever he says. Hey, I need you to do this. I need you to talk to this person. I need you to go here. I need you to do this. That will just automatically do it. And then we have the pedals. We have to put the work in. You know what? We have everything, but we don't put the work in, it's going to be worthless. You know what? That's with anything in life. But I'm hoping that this will just kind of challenge you, encourage you if you're doing good in these areas. But you know what? The ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. You know what? We will one day reach that mark of perfection. I hope so, at least. Because I'd hate to stand before Jesus. And you know what? He showed these times when you should have done this. And you know what? All you can have is a face of shame. You know what? So I hope this was a help. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you, dear Lord, just for giving me the words to say, dear God. Thank you just for this weird idea, but that we can apply to the Christian life, dear God. A bike, dear Lord, that whenever we go out, we're going to see a bike. And that, dear Lord, that we'll work on this. I need to still work on this stuff, dear God. And that ultimately we will be better for you, dear God. I pray that there be anyone here that's not sure of their salvation, that they get saved, dear God. And that you would just work on people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.